Somebody crying already. Oh. Glad mine are past that stage. Aren't y'all glad y'all are past that stage? Well, we cry a lot, but don't mean they do. Do what? Yes, love the future. Sharon has her two sisters with her this morning. The one beside her is her twin, and that is very special. And the other one is also her sister on the end. And they now both reside in my favorite state. And can anybody guess? No, the next favorite state. Ohio. Yes, Ohio. So, so we are glad they are with us this morning. So glad you're down here in the South. You have to get some good sweet tea while you're down here and eat some grits and gravy. And yeah, Karen moved here from Oregon. The twin used to be in Oregon. She was a duck. And now she's a Buckeye. She went from a bird to a senseless, a worthless nut. That's what Buckeye means, a worthless nut, just so you know. We're glad to have them with us. Aren't you glad God's in charge? Would any of you want to be in charge of the world? I sure wouldn't. I mean, I'd be firing everybody, right? Getting rid of everybody. And I'm glad God's in charge. All this chaos and the way the world is and the cultural change, the cultural shift. I mean, I look at, you know, I just look at things how it was when I was a kid growing up and how things have just changed dramatically since then in our world and what society accepts and what society says is okay versus when I was a kid it was not okay. And it's changed so much, but I'm thankful that God's in charge. And God gives us a commission of what to do in this world. We have responsibility, church. Each one of us have a personal, if you're a Christian, you have a personal responsibility in the earth. Now, I know we all have our opinions and we all have our stances, and I have those as well. I mean, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with our convictions and what we believe in. You know, just like I take a stance, I've always been a North Carolina Tar Heel fan. I started liking the Tar Heels when Michael Jordan played for them. That's when I started liking the Tar Heels. And the same time I started hating Duke, it was a seamless transition. Love Carolina, hate Duke. I've always liked it. I'm so strong on this that even when Duke's the national championship team, I'm always pulling for the other team. That's how much I hate Duke. Y'all don't understand. You with me, Brenda? You're pulling for the other team. And but yet I respect them. And Coach K is one of the best coaches of college basketball ever. And you know why many people go to Duke other than the education? I mean, the ones that play ball, they go because they believe in Coach K. You know why? Because Coach K is in charge. And they believe that. And they go because he wins. And they go because he can teach them things. They go because he can lead them to the promised land, so to speak, of the Final Four. Aren't you thankful that we have a God that leads us to the promised land? We have a God who's in charge, and as Christians, you know what our role is? To surrender to him, to trust him, to submit to him, and let him. It's not our job to be God, church. We that's the problem. We try to be God in the earth. We try to dictate this and dictate that. We don't have any power to do that. Turn to Scripture, Matthew chapter 6, Brandon. Matthew 6, verse 9. This is our responsibility. And actually, let's do something. Can we do something kind of traditional? Y'all stand up. Let's read this together. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus speaking. And I want us to simultaneously read this prayer together. Are you ready? In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Keep going, bro. Oh, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. Yours is the power and yours is the glory forever. Amen. That's the key. Yours is the power. Not mine, not my kingdom. It's your kingdom, Lord, and you're in charge. And I'm going to trust you because I believe that God can be better at being God than the great James Lewis can. As great as I am in so many things in life, God is greater. Thank you, Joe. God is in charge. And we should rest in that and be thankful for that. And, you know, we try so much to pound salvation to people's lives, pound, you know, redemption to people's lives, try to pound our viewpoint into their lives instead of just letting God do what he does best and bring the transition into a person's life. I'm a firm believer the Holy Spirit moving is so much more powerful than our mouth moving and trying to influence someone. Just let the Holy Spirit move. I have seen God bring some of the greatest deliverance in the quietest times when there wasn't all the shout and hoorah, just the stillness of God's presence. It's so quiet sometimes, the presence of God. It's so quiet. It's why you hear his voice, why you can hear him in the strongest ways. God's in charge. The Bible says that we are the light of the world, that we are a city set up on a hill that should not be hid. But we should show forth our light unto all men that they see the good works of our Father. See, the reason that we are to be a light, it's not putting a burden on us for self-gain. It's there so they see God. What's the greatest way people see God? They see it through you. They see it through you long before they see it through the Bible, because they may doubt the Bible. Well, the Bible is written by men. The Bible has been translated all these different times. How do we know it's really true? How do we know you know, King James was a sexist pig or whatever. And we hear all those arguments of why the Bible isn't true. But when they see a life living for Christ, when they see you standing for God in the midst of adversity, in the midst of sin, when they see you standing when the world around you is corrupt, and they see someone that's honest, someone full of integrity, someone that's full of hope and joy and peace, guess what? You become that Bible. What makes you so different? Christ living in me, the hope of glory, is what Paul says. That's what makes me different. We all have the same emotions. We all have the same battles. We all have weaknesses and we have strongholds. We have struggles. But what makes the Christian different is that Christ lives inside of them. It's not a religiosity going through the motions. It's a living experience of a God, a living God, living inside of us. And it makes us different. Because we have said, Lord, I put my trust in you. You're in charge. I can't fix my situation. You know, I guess the greatest battle one of the greatest battles any human being has is being a parent. Being a parent. Am I right, Laura? Being a parent. And it's just begun for you, darling. These are the good years, trust me. As they grow up, as they start getting a mind their own, don't you hate that, parents? They actually get a mind of their own. We brainwash them all their lives, and they still get a mind of their own. How dare them? We program them to be like us. And what do? They don't be like us. They go the other way because they don't want to be like us. How dare them do that? But being a parent is the toughest challenge ever, because as a child grows and develops, that guess what? They start being impacted by the world around them. And for a 13 or 14 or 15 year old that's beginning to be on the brink of changing emotionally and physically, and all of a sudden they care what everybody thinks about them, where 4 years ago they didn't care what anybody thought about them. Now you embarrass them by being there. You embarrass them by walking beside them. You embarrass them because you looked at them. Are you serious? You know? And so all of a sudden I begin to change. And guess what? There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you still love them. You still try to train them. But as far as changing them, you got to just sit back and watch the ride. And pray to God to keep their hands and feet inside at all times. I mean, that's all you got to do. And just pray that God watches them. Pray that God keeps them. Because you're not going to change them by all of your preaching. You're not going to change them by the evil eye. You know, when my kids were little, they wouldn't listen to mama, you know. I would like to do that with my foot. And they, okay, daddy, start running. I could do that. Well, guess what? When they're 16, 18, that don't work no more. You do that and they look at you. What? What you going to do? Really? I mean, it changes. And it's frustrating. And it's challenging. So you have to learn, you know what? God, you're in charge. I did the best. Here's the thing about parenting. You only get one shot. This is why grandparents are great. They get a second chance. All the mistakes they made with me, all the mistakes they make with their children, they don't make with their grandchildren. Lord, I saw a different side of my dad when I had kids, right? Dad was a good dad, but, he wasn't the most, grandparents start having the grandparent talk, right? When you see a mustached man, yeah, your papa loves you. Your papa loves you. You're like, where was that when I was growing up? I'm coming out the belt. Where'd that come from? You get a second chance. You can see hardcore Harley Davidson, tattooed, pierced up, yellow-haired men. Hey, that's my grandbaby. How you doing, baby? Where'd that side from? Tough guy. Grandkids change everything, and all of a sudden they got a second chance to relive what they had 20 years ago. So now when they see their little granddaughter, little grandson, it reminds them of days gone past. And aren't grandparents great about saying, TJ, now look, don't spank them. Now, he didn't mean it. Tay didn't mean it. So just, now TJ, don't go too hard on him. Are you kidding me? Remember when you were a parent and the other parent had to pull you off of them? And now you're telling them don't touch them? But see, that's the beauty of grandparenting. If a parent's doing their job, the grandparents can do their job, which is spoiling, filling them with, making them more special than what they really are. Because that's what grandparents do. Oh, you're the best. Do you live with them? Are you kidding me? But they fill their minds with that because they're grandparents. And it's challenging. And so that's, to me, one of the hardest jobs is being a parent. But God's in charge of your children. And when they get a certain age, you got to let them go and trust God and just take your hands off the wheel, as the song was sung, and let Jesus take the wheel and truly drive your situation, because there's nothing you do about it. I beat myself up because two of my kids are pretty much, they're grown. And, I look back, and I still have got one I'm raising, and I look back and, I think of all the mistakes I made and things I would have done different. Or, gosh, I wish I'd have done this, or wish I would have been harder, I wish I would have been softer, I wish I would have, said this, I wish I wouldn't have said that. And we can tear ourselves up with the what ifs. The point is, we did the best we could the first time around. And we got to pray to God, He takes it and then does the rest with it that we couldn't do. God's in charge. And I'm thankful for that. Let's give our lives to God. And no matter what we're seeing in the world, God, you're over my family, you're over my home, and you're over my heart. Don't let the anger of what the world and all the poison. We've had conflict since the beginning of time. Cain killed his own brother. We've had conflict from the very beginning. We've had violence from the very beginning. We've had hate from the very beginning. That's not a new thing. The thing that makes it so impactful now is that we have social media that 24 hours a day, videos and all the stuff we have shows every issue, every battle, every negative thing, and it fills our minds with that poison. I remember a day you couldn't, as young as I am, where you couldn't watch the news except one time a day, 6 o'clock at night. One time a day you saw the news, and it was only pretty much local. Then you had the world news an hour at night, and that was it. And now everything is so, it's instant, it's right now. I was at Food Line the other day working, and one of the Christian's friends come in. Two of her friends come in, said, hey, so you're a Christian dad? I said, yeah. And I'm over there in the dairy aisle, and she started Snapchatting me. I said, are you Snapchatting me? Yeah. I said, well, knowing that, I would have done something stupid for my daughter. But she just Snapchatted me, standing there talking to me, just right there. There I am on the worldwide camera for the whole world to see. I'm socking milk. I'm a bad boy. It's instant. It's like, man, come on. And so everything is magnified. Accept the goodness of God and the greatness of God. I did something yesterday, and it wasn't a test. It really wasn't. I did it, but then afterwards it kind of became a test. I posted something yesterday, and I posted something the day before. Some of you saw this. I posted a picture of the two cucumbers and two squash we got from our first garden. I usually don't do stuff like that, but I was proud of that. We never had a garden before. And I posted that. I got like 100 and some likes. I posted a Bible scripture yesterday. Paula Rush is the only one that liked it. One like on a Bible verse. It's a good one. It's the one I'm going to use this morning. I got 100 likes for my squash and cucumbers and one like for the Word of God. Are you kidding me? You know what my wife said? You're this great pastor's wife, the first lady of the church. Well, I don't normally read scriptures on Facebook. I just scroll through them. Really? Read the scripture. It may be something you needed for that day. It may be a moment of, revelation. The Lord was using my pastor yesterday. I didn't even realize it until I read that verse. And yes, that's what I need. Because guess what? That scripture you got, but you ain't getting by squash and cucumbers. So you could have had something, but no, just scroll on by. Thank you, Paula, for seeing that verse and liking it. Paula's the only one that was blessed yesterday on my Facebook page. Thank you for that, Paula. Well, according to Bill, yeah, that's what he said, too. yeah, Farmer James Bill coming. Go to the next scripture. This is found in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 10. These are four powerful verses. 1 Chronicles 29 and 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." He's making a covenant, a declaration that, Lord, you're the Father. You're over everything, and you're over everything forever. If we get that mindset, God's not went hid in a bunker somewhere because all this stuff's happening. I mean, church, we've had storms in every decade. Remember the roaring 20s? Well, some of you don't remember that, I don't guess. Well, my grandma might. The roaring 20s. Remember how they danced in the roaring 20s? You baby boomers talk about this new jive rapping move and stuff. You know how the roaring 20s were? Shaking all over. Go back and pull up roaring 20s dancing. They were shaking and moving all over. So then you kept on progressing. Then you had Elvis Presley, my God, the devil on stage. Shaking them hips, girls fainting, passing out, going into a comatose state because he shook his leg. I've tried out Melly many years. She ain't fell over once. But let Elvis do it. I mean, he was the devil. Then Michael Jackson comes out. The breakdance movement, which I grew up in, the breakdance movement. Remember the breakdance? The moonwalk, all that stuff. Kept progressing. Every generation's had conflict. Every generation's had sin. And God's been in control of it all. All of it. Because he's the Father of all creation. He is overseeing the world. And thank God we belong to his kingdom. And guess what? No matter what happens in this earth, we don't belong here and we won't stay here. We have a kingdom that God prepared for us that is far greater than this world. We are pilgrims, as the Bible says, passing through, transitioning to our eternity. And so don't let what's happening here destroy your everyday life. I'm going to tell you something. Doesn't matter who, I've never seen so much. We are so divided and so angry right now. We have two people running for president, and the nation hates both of them, and the nation loves both of them. Depends on which side you're on. And it doesn't matter who gets elected in November, it will not change the plan of God. Hear that clearly. It won't change it. So no use in hating. We have our personal opinions. I understand that. We have our personal agendas. We have our personal convictions. But it's not going to change that God is still in charge. So we walk in peace. We walk in love. We walk in mercy. And we show the light of Jesus to those around us, even if we don't agree. And I have spoken poorly against those in authority, and I recognize that, and that's not right. And we all have done that, and my kids have heard me do that, because I am, a like any human being, passionate about certain things, and I have triggers and I have buttons. Like right now, if I said I hate the Marines, I would be shot on sight. Because there's three of them in here and two of them probably packing. So I realize I can't say that. You know, because they are passionate about that. Passionate. And we get so worked up over our passions to where our blood boils. And it just, church, I belong to the King. I belong to Jesus. Remember Daniel and remember the three Hebrew children. And remember Joseph and all the men that we read about that made a stand for their God. And how God vindicated them, and God honored them, and God delivered them, and God rescued them, and God showed because they made a stand for who they served. We serve the Lord. He is in charge, and that's who I report to on any life issue. I don't report to anyone in the government. I don't report to any man. I report to God. God, you're in charge. You're my leader. You're my one that fights my battles. You're my peace speaker. You're my joy giver. You're my everything, God. You're the one that breaks my strongholds. You're the one that brings deliverance. You're the one that heals me. You, God, alone, I belong to you. David declaring, God, you're the Father and you're forever. Next verse. Yours, O Lord, and this is the verse you missed yesterday on Facebook I posted. Now, this is a good verse. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in this earth is yours. All is yours, God. Everything belongs to you. Our children belong to you. Our marriages belong to you. Our bodies belong to you. Our minds belong to you. Our finances belong to you. Everything that you have, everything on the earth belongs to you. When we learn that one revelation, because it's not ours, we would not be greedy if we knew everything belonged to God. That would fix greed. That would fix the problem of greed right there, to recognize it doesn't belong to me, God. It belongs to you. Everything. But we hang on to things like we've earned something. Only by the hand of God do we have anything. Church, only by the gracious hand of God are we alive today. Only by the hand of God are our children alive. You know, do you read the story about Myrtle Beach? The two boys that family lost. Lost the boy and a girl. Wasn't it the brother and sister? Family lost both their kids at Myrtle Beach. Both of them in the ocean, right? They haven't found the other one. Lost a 12-year-old and a 17-year-old. Both of them in the ocean. One they found dead, one they're still searching for. But can you imagine? You go to the beach to make memories. You go to the beach on your vacation and you lose both the kids. Church, we have so much to be thankful for. Don't get caught up. There's a lot of negativity and a lot of griping and a lot of complaining. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. That's your choice, which one you gonna be. I want to be a part of the solution, of just doing the little bit of stuff that I can do, which is a smile, a handshake, a kind word of mercy and love, of forgiveness, of just being, having a heart for God to share with all people. We can focus on the negativity, and we can live our lives paralyzed by that, crippled by that. Or we can come out of our state of that negativity and say, you know what? I serve a God that everything in heaven and everything is in earth is yours. And God, you're the Father of all creation, and you're the Father of me forever. So if you're the Father of me forever, there is no want and there is no lack and there is no need that he can't provide for me. Then it goes on to say, yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head above all. Aren't you glad for that? God's over every principality, every power, every authority, every creation. God's head above everything. There's nothing greater, nothing more powerful. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, you missed a dynamic message. And yes, I did preach. We had a message, and it was called Greater Is He. And talked about how that power of Jesus in us is greater than any conflict that tries to rob it out of us. Greater is He. Well, He is greater because He's exalted. He's head above all. He is Lord and Savior. He is risen from the dead forevermore, and there is no one that will ever steal or rob him of his crown or his position or his authority. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there is no one higher than him. Thank God he's in charge. You may say, why is all this happening? Why is this? And why does God do this? Or why does God allow this? Church, there are many questions I can't answer. I just know God's in charge, and I trust him more than I trust any government official or any world leader. I trust God. I trust what his word says. I trust him for my family. I don't have to live in fear because of what's happening around me. I don't have to live in chaos because of what's happening around me. I can be calm in the middle of a storm because God's in me. God can calm you, church. Don't fear. Don't let what's happening around us get you so worked up that you quit functioning, or you quit living your life because of what might happen. Well, I don't know about what might happen, but I know what did happen. Christ died for me, and now lives inside of me. That happened. I know what else happened. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and I have eternal place in the kingdom of God. That's already happened. He died to save me. That has happened. I'm secure in him. That has happened. He loves me. That has happened. Those are facts that have happened, truths that have already happened. Don't live about the what is. We can't change a lot of things in the world, but we can impact the lives around us one by one, little by little, and be that light that stands in the gap that says, you are different. Why are you different? Because I'm God's. Go to the next verse. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord. All prosperity, all wealth, anything I've ever been given, God, comes from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great, and I love this last part, and to give strength to all. God gives strength to all. People are grieving all over the world today for whatever reason, whether they've lost someone through death, whether they're, you know, in prison, whether they're dying in a hospital. I mean, people are grieving all over the world, and God has promised to give strength to each one because he has that to give. We're not going to find our strength in a presidential candidate. We're not going to find our strength in a football team winning a Super Bowl. We're not going to find our strength, you know, in eating a good lunch, which I do enjoy, but we're not going to find our strength in that. We're not going to find even our strength in having that perfect child or that perfect woman or that perfect man. We're not going to find strength in any of that. We find strength in God. All of our strength comes from him. And when we surrender to his power and say, Lord, I need that power to empower me, to give me what I need. Because, Lord, I admit, I've been angry. I feel myself getting bitter. I feel myself growing cold. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to burn your light out so you don't help nobody else. The enemy wants you cold. He wants you bitter. He wants you angry. He wants you divided. But Jesus says a house divided cannot stand. Well, guess what? That's so true. We can't stand united if we are divided. And so we don't agree with everybody. I understand that. We don't agree with every position. We don't agree with every circumstance. We don't agree with everything that happens in the world. But we are to love and continue to shine that light. Don't let your light go out. Don't let the world darkness creep inside of you, church. We are the people of God. We are the children of God, and we have been called for greater works and greater things than what the world has been called to do. How else will they see Christ? How else will they see the love of Jesus if they don't see it through us? You know, I see, my kids talk about this. Ashley brought this up the other day. She's talking about Facebook. So, you know, all these kids at school talk about being Christians, and they love Jesus, and they use all this language on Facebook, and they talk about this and say all this. So that just makes me so mad. She ought to be mad about that. Church, there is responsibility for being a Christian, that we are supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. On purpose, we should be different. Not in a way that alienates people, but in a way that shows them, yes, God can change you. God can change our heart. That's what's got to be changed, is our heart. You know, violence is a heart issue. That's what it is. It's a heart issue. Racism and jealousy and anger and division and bitterness, hate, all that. It's a heart issue. And until the heart is changed, nothing will change. And God changes the heart. Remember, church, reflect. Some of you, let me just, Doc won't mind. I won't tell I was been, but let's use Doc because I know Doc's story a little bit. Doc was a sinner man. See, I don't have a good story to tell. I got saved young, so I don't have any juicy details for you. If I did, I would share them. Bill, be quiet. I got saved young. So I didn't have this hardcore life, you know, that God just took me out of. But Doc was living as a sinner. And Doc participated in some of the vices of the world that us Christians call sin. And is you in your 30s, right, Doc, when you got saved? In your 30s. 30 what? Do you remember? Oh, God. Almost 40. He was barely in his 30s. Almost 40 years old when he got saved. Now, Doc, when God saved you, did he not change your heart? Did your heart not change? And you stopped doing the things that you used to do, didn't you? Because your heart changed. See, God, when he comes in, now, Doc's almost 40 years old. So much for can't teach a dog new tricks, right? You know, or been doing that so long, he'll never change. Almost 40 when God saved him. And he was able to drop the things of the world he was doing and live a different life because God changed the heart. See, when God changed your heart, church, it's really easy. People say, well, I can't get saved, preacher, because I got all these struggles and battles, and I like doing this thing. And you know what? Preacher, I just like drinking. If I get saved, I ain't going to give up drinking. Well, if God changed your heart, you will. If God changed your heart, you'll quit drinking. You know why? Because it won't be something you desire like you used to desire. It won't be something you want to do no more. God's changed you. It's a beautiful thing for the Holy Spirit to change us. And that's what we are supposed to be as the light of the children of God, is life changers. That they see the light in us. Because we can preach to them all we want. You know, you can tell David all you want, Doc. David, boy, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. And David's going to probably respectfully look at you and, yeah, okay, Dad, yeah, yeah. And then he'll tell Allison, crazy old man. But when God gets a hold of David and God speaks to David, then all of a sudden it changes. Then all of a sudden something breaks because the ends. See, Doc, as a parent or any of us, we can preach to our kids, which we do. We can teach our kids, which we do. We can train our kids, discipline our kids, correct our kids. We can talk till midnight, the midnight oil runs out, over and over and over about the same thing, over and over. If you've ever been a parent, you know that. You talk to your kids about the same things over and over and over and over. But until God gives them an ear to hear, they're not. You're going to be like the Charlie Brown cartoon. When David is hearing his dad talk, here's what David's hearing. Here's what Doc's hearing. I did good, Debbie. I told that boy. I gave him some good life lessons, boy. That was good wisdom I gave him. You've been proud of me. Here's what David heard. Walk, 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 walk. Because they don't have an ear to hear. But all of a sudden, when God changed that heart, Doc becomes pretty smart. And Doc's a man of wisdom and smarts. And old Pops, boy, he knows what's going on in life. Same way with the sinner. We can't beat a sinner into salvation. And we can't really scare him into salvation. I never liked the scare tactic either. I've been in churches where, my God, they had you so scared. I mean, the lake of fire, they scared you to salvation. But the heart still wasn't changed. See, the heart's got to be changed. And when the heart is changed, then we can walk in peace. We can walk in joy. We can walk in understanding and truth and wisdom when the heart is changed. And that's what this country needs. It needs a sweeping of its heart. It needs hearts changed to where we see and recognize the love of God. Truly recognize it. Have I got another verse? I do, yeah, 13. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Your Father forever. Majesty, riches, honor, power, God, they belong to you. God's in charge. Trust that. Believe that. Walk in that. God, You're in charge. No matter what I see, my eyes are fixed on you. No matter what I hear, church, we need to go back to doing this sometimes. Right? The three monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Which means we can't let things that come in here get in here. Things that come in here get in here. And then things that get in here, they come out there. You ever got an argument with your wife or your husband? Don't some things come out sometimes? You're like, woo, where'd that come from? Because that was in there. And what was in there is going to come out. And there's buttons you can push. I mean, goodness. I've been fired up before. I can snap. You even get road rage. Somebody cuts you off. It comes out, don't it? All of a sudden, you're chasing them down with a mission. And you get beside them, and you go right, and you give them the look, and you stare at them, they look at you. Keep staring at them. Roll your window down. You get mad. All because, bless your heart, they passed you. And we're just getting raged with that. And we just snap because it's in us. Begin to guard your eyes and guard your ears and guard your mouth. Once a word, here's what's scary. I wish I could take, if I had a dollar for every word I could take back, I would be in the Bahamas forever right now. The words we speak, once they're out, we can't get them back. They're out. If I call Doc a crazy old man, guess what? I can go back and apologize 50 times. Doc, I'm so sorry. God, I'm so sorry. But all he's going to remember is he called me a crazy old man. He called me a crazy old man. I could give him money to try to pay him back. I could beg. I get on my knees. Oh, Doc, forgive me. I could wash his feet like the days of Jesus, and I could offer alms. All he remembers is he called me a crazy old man. Isn't that how we are? We remember the negative. It's hard to make that up. It's hard to make that up. Careful what you speak. Careful what you watch. And careful what you listen to. You want to change seats? Church, don't let other people define your walk with God. And don't certainly let society define that. We can still walk in peace as Christians, and we can walk in unity as Christians, and we can love each other as Christians. No matter what our skin color is, what our background is, no matter what part of life we come from, we can still love each other. We can still be there for each other. We can still show compassion for each other. So I hope this message was encouraging you today to know God's in charge and that we as Christians are to be that light. Come on up, Marge, if you would. I'm ready to play for our offering. And be praying for our country. Be praying for our nation. Be praying for families that have been impacted by tragedy. Dave, we think about you, and our prayers are with you as you're on the streets trying to do your job the best of your ability. And, I did hear on the news that the Dallas Police Force is very much down right now, that they have lost 250,000 officers in the last few years due to quitting or retirement or just getting out of the business. They're way down in force because cops are really, a lot of them discouraged or they're just, whatever. And, church, we do need in our country some sort of law. I don't agree with all the laws. I don't agree with all the laws. But if there's no order at all, it's complete pandemonium. And so let's pray for all the families of victims that have lost their lives. The mothers of these young men that have been killed have the same grief as these cop families that got killed. They have the same grief. That was their son that died. That was their nephew. That was their brother. That was someone's father. And so the impact of grief is just as real. And so let's not get angry. Let's just focus on Jesus and just be the light to try to bring peace and calm to those around us and remind them, God's in control. And all I'm going to do is follow him the best I can and serve him. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you are in control. No matter how chaotic life gets, no matter how many spirits rise up, evil spirits of principalities and powers of darkness to try to divide, to try to conquer, to try to sow discourse, try to sow hate. God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be in us so strong and so powerful that when people see our lives, they don't see a color, they don't see a background, they see you, Lord. That's all they see. They see you. Let us be that light that shines so bright that draws men unto the cross. I pray for this nation. I pray for families that are grieving this weekend. I pray, Lord, for all the families that have lost loved ones in the recent tragedies, that you bring comfort, you bring strength, and you bring hope. Lord, there is no hope without you. You are our hope, and all hope is in you. And we pray for that hope and peace. It starts with us, Lord. We can make a difference. Each one of us in this building right now, we make a difference. Compounded and multiplied, we make a big difference. Let us be that salt, and let us be that light that the world sees. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all stay.